Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Carvery with Alex Storr. You guys already know that this is the podcast that we know that success, innovation, collaboration, teamwork, creativity, all those things that we really desire in life are our natural state once the drama's gone. And today's episode is looking at that yet again. What is something we can carve away from our thinking that leads to our actions that will open us up to just reveal that natural state of happiness and success? And that's what the Carvery is all about. And so welcome back again. Now, today's episode is one that's been kind of brewing in my mind for a while. I'm just coming off 3 days of our reality-based certification program. We call this, for those of you not familiar, our Train the Trainer. This is where people that have fallen in love with our philosophy have been implementing it in their organizations informally or have been really trying to spread the message through book clubs, through our YouTube videos, through my content. They've now made the decision to take it to the next level, and they come in and we teach them exactly how to train our stuff just as I do in my sessions, just as Sai does in her training sessions, and then they can take the message back in a very formal, organized way and implement it with their leaders and employees. And so it was 3 straight days. We teach them the philosophy, they teach it back to show their understanding, and then we really give them the secrets, the magic. And the 3rd day, we talk through all of our reality-based tools, which are our good mental processes that we encourage leaders to use as their anchor to redirect energy away from drama and into what we're trying to create and how to get there. And so we went through all like 16 of those tools yesterday with the group, and they absolutely loved it. And so my first time as VP of People Evolution at Reality-Based Leadership doing the certification, and I think there was a ton of good things about it and some things I'm going to go back and really try and improve for next time. But I'm excited about where that program's going, and it's so great to see those people kind of take off and start their journey implementing this with all of their employees. That's the first update. That's where I've been and focusing a lot of energy lately. Now, the second update is really what this whole podcast is about. And it's been an ongoing self-reflection for me that so many people in the new kind of modern reality with the rise of the internet and the rise of social media and the rise of seemingly super, super successful entrepreneurs, I see so many people just kind of daydreaming how to get out of their corporate job or their job with a company and start their own company and really go on and do something for themselves. And I am seeing that everywhere, like especially as I'm involved with social media on Instagram and Facebook, and you see where it's almost like everyone's the CEO of something. And I do understand how the internet's helping more and more people really follow their passions and be able to quit kind of that corporate 9-to-5 and be able to do what they want. But I am constantly fascinated with our content on ditching the drama from work and your world and carving away that drama, because I truly, truly believe and have seen that the same people that hate their job at the start of one of our training sessions can start to self-reflect and realize that a lot of that hate is something they created in their own mind. Like a lot of their hate for what their job is, or a lot of their dislike or discontent is self-imposed suffering caused by a lot of our competencies that they're not fluent in of drama. So the podcast topic that I want to be able to get my thoughts out today for you guys to really give me some feedback on as listeners and consider is, how can we take the job we dislike today and, looking at our skill set, approach, and mindset, could it be the same job we love tomorrow? Because my whole theory about this is that as I've gotten more fluent and been in more companies and helped them ditch the drama, we have a lot of amazing opportunities out there in corporations, but corporations are getting a bad rap, or these companies are getting a bad rap, because it's like, well, you know, I got to work a 9-to-5 and they're not as flexible and I don't get to do exactly what I want to do. And a lot of it is where I see that drama's coming into the equation that starts to burn us out from those jobs. And then we look to do something else. And I truly believe that if we know how to ditch the drama, we can finally capitalize on all the opportunity that are in the companies in front of us and in the company that we're already in. And that's what I want to entertain in our minds today and really consider and just start a conversation around. Because I truly believe that right now, if you can get fluent in our reality-based principles, the same reality, the same boss, the same task, the same day-to-day can have a completely newfound happiness once you really consider some of these concepts. I'm not saying that it's not for everyone to go and start their own thing, but I want to start a conversation and maybe be the only voice out there that's like, why don't we just revisit our mindsets and our approach and get reality-based in our thinking and see if we can love the same jobs that we don't like today and then start to evolve what we think about what's possible within these organizations, because many of these organizations have a lot of capital to invest in us to go to cool learning experiences, which I've already talked to you guys about. Many of them have ideas for us to be entrepreneurs within their system, so it's like being an entrepreneur without all the risk. They have opportunities for you to stretch your boundaries as a leader to see if you could actually lead a big, big project and close that big sale. There's a lot of safe spaces to explore some of this in a company without it all being on the risk of you. And that's what I want to revisit, because I think so many people are missing this opportunity to get drama free and then enter in a company that has a great brand and really just do great things. And that's where we're going today. And so I have about four ideas for us to all consider about the current job we have. If you're thinking, gosh, is this all it is? And I like the company, but the job, like maybe it's not what I thought. Let's just take a moment to consider these four ideas that I came up with as I self-reflected on. Starting with step one here, to really start to see if we actually truly do hate our job or if we can love the same job we dislike right now, I want you to, after this podcast, take a moment to get a piece of paper out and write down all the reasons why you're not liking your job. Don't even edit this at all. Just let it rip on a piece of paper, almost like a fun little vent session about all the craziness that you're not liking about your job, all the obstacles in the way, all the frustrations. Take a moment and get honest and write those all down. And once you're done, just make sure you're completely done. And then you guys know the deal. If you haven't heard about this activity, go back and you have to ask on every single sentence, is it true? Do I absolutely know that to be sure? What are the facts? Because those facts will actually give you a clear view of what is your reality at your job. And what I know is a universal truth is that your stress doesn't come from your reality. It comes from the stories that we make up and believe about reality. And so if we are convinced that our job is really the problem and that the organization's really the issue, this is the first step to just unlock our thinking and get more clear on what is the true challenges. And so I want you to start this whole podcast and the techniques I'm going to talk about with doing this overall macro look at what is frustrating us and what is the drama around our job. And let's get down to the facts, because as you take the time to write it and you look at it after, you might get some laughs about how many stories you were adding in and how much judgment was in there. And that'll be the best start, because we've talked about this in other episodes, but it's always a good reminder. All of us have this thing called the human condition, and every single day this human condition has us living with this thing called our ego. Now, what's our ego? Some think that having an ego means you have a lot of confidence or you know, you're always able to step up. But a part of our ego is confidence, but most times our ego that we walk around with every single day is not our amigo. And what the ego does is it is when you wake up in the morning, you're not like, Alex, I'm going to start thinking right now. You're already being thought. And so if you would take 2 minutes to like close your eyes and sit in silence, you'd start to notice there's this thing chattering in your mind, kind of like narrating your world or telling you what you need to do in the future or what you should have done in the past or going into random ideas or thoughts about what you should be doing and not being silent. It's that constant chatter in our mind that's always judging everything. It's critiquing. It's creating stories. Now, we'll be sitting there in silence, but our minds will be racing. That thing that's racing is your ego, and we all have an ego. And so what that ego does is it really commentates on the world, and it takes what happens in our reality, we'll say our workplace, and everything that happens, it distorts it, and it adds judgment and intentions and stories and paints everything in our favor as if we're the victims of a situation or circumstances and everyone else is the villains. It really gives us bad information. It's like wearing a pair of prescription glasses all day, but they're the wrong prescription. And oftentimes, if we're not aware of this, our reality at work can seem as if everybody's out to get us and that there's no opportunities within our workplace. And that's when you can know that the ego is out to play big time. Our judgment, our stories are really getting solidified and we're not questioning them. And we are really seeing through these prescription glasses that are the wrong prescription. And where we have to be really careful is that the ego really is the fuel to all this fire, to all this frustration. And the way it has to stay alive is by staying mildly irritated at many things. It has to really search for greener grass. It has to let you know that you're missing out on something. And it scans the environment and it's always looking for insult, oftentimes where there isn't any. And you can just see how this plays out in the workplace where a colleague, you know, doesn't say hello a few days and you're like, oh my gosh, they're mad at me. They think that they're all cool since they got promoted. You know, they actually didn't like me all along when all that happened is that colleague didn't say hello and was busy on a project. So reality was kind. Your ego made it like it was the worst situation ever. And so our ego's always doing this every single day. And it's a very kind of vicious cycle if we don't interrupt this and really understand it. Now, the way it stays alive is through this like venting, through this looking for insult where there isn't any. And this venting and complaining is really the ego's way of avoiding self-reflection. And when we're most upset with what's going on in our current job, you're feeling so exhausted, upset. And the way to get around that and drop into a better place is through self-reflection. So the ego avoids self-reflection at all costs, and self-reflection is actually the foundation of accountability. It is what drops us into finding a place we can have impact and re-engage with our work. So if we're an ego and believe there's nothing we can do to have impact, and we're in that low self and we are wearing those prescription glasses that are the wrong prescription, self-reflection moves us into a clear perspective where we could add value anyway. And that's the toggle switch that we've mentioned in some other podcasts into a better part of our brain. And then this accountability is actually death to this ego that causes all of this kind of suffering at work. Now, again, self-reflection is what gets us out of that really poor spot. And how do you get into self-reflection? Asking ourselves good questions. What could I do to help? Given this situation as I see it, what could I do to be great anyway? If you answer those questions, you move from your ego low self into accountability where you could take action and still have an impact. It's like where the freedom's at. It's where no matter what the circumstances, you could still find one thing you could do to add value and you'll stay engaged at your job. And if you can't quite do it with a question because you're really frustrated about a coworker, a situation, or just the company as a whole, that's why I started with the edit your stories, because that's the second technique to be able to self-reflect on what's really true. What would great look like anyway? If we can write down the story and then cross out what's not true on those stories, what I made up, what is an assignment of motive, what I am thinking the other person was thinking themselves. Once I get rid of all of that, it might leave a couple sentences about what happened, which is my coworker hasn't said hello for 2 days, and all of the other stuff I made up that caused me to hate my job goes away. And so understanding what the ego does and how it keeps us from accountability, and knowing that you can ask a good question to bypass that ego, and you can do an edit your story and cross out the story that ego's making up, are the two first ways to just investigate. If you do that, is your job not as bad as it seems? Is there more places you can add value than it seems? Are there more projects that you could take on for opportunity than it seems? And that's where I want to start, because most people are just completely unaware of how much they are getting into these stories. Now, second, a technique I am encouraging so many people to think about is, how often do you say no to opportunities at your current job? There's all these little chances to step up and add value, or to learn from a coworker, or to get mentorship from a leader. And how often do we say no in our initial reaction and in our language? Or maybe the organization rolls out a new change and that allows opportunity for anyone to step up and you're not the first one that says, yes, I'm in, let's talk about how. Maybe your initial reaction is, I don't like it here, why get too involved? I'm just gonna say no, or I'm just gonna lay low and not really jump in. And I'll just kind of not get in trouble, but I won't put in too much effort. I'll just lay low and not really get involved. Because what you're doing every single time that happens is making a choice, and it's all there for you to step up into and maybe find some new opportunities in your position. But when you lay low or say no, you immediately step out of these opportunities the universe is presenting you. So if you've edited your stories, you're still frustrated with the current job, and you're really starting to understand your ego and getting out of that judgment and getting into how you can help and what do you know for sure and what would great look like, move into the next technique, which is take like a week or maybe a month. And whenever something comes out in the form of a change or an opportunity, just say yes and talk about how. Even if you feel like you're already pretty busy, say yes and talk about how, or yes, and here's who you could also ask to get involved. Just become a person that has this default answer of yes, and here's my expertise to make it work. And this simple technique is like a superpower, because the more times we start to say no, the more you step out and play defense in the workplace. Someone once told me, Alex, if you keep saying no enough, you're gonna be out. Like if you keep saying no to opportunities to play, eventually no one's gonna want you on the team. And that's what happens a lot, is our default answer at work, because we're busy and we don't wanna invest too much because we're kind of half in, half out, is no. And so take a week or 2 weeks or a month to just say yes and let's talk about how, and see if you start to get invited to the table to talk about the cool projects, or if you get involved in those projects, and you'll be surprised how much more energized you'll feel. Number three is a simple one, but many people don't recognize how important it is, which is look at the group in your organization that you interact with the most. Is the group that you interact with the ones that have stepped down and they are kind of BMW driving about the organization, about where they're going, about someone else? And BMW driving, for those of you that don't know, we call it bitching, moaning, and whining. Is the group you hang around the one that is consistently nagging on situations or the company or the customer? Or is the group you're with the one that is always kind of involved in projects, involved in what's going on in your market, involved in the associations, involved in the research, the evidence about what's coming along that'll be big disruptors, and they're talking about ways the company can capitalize on it? Just start to notice who you're interacting with. And because you have colleagues, you don't cut anyone off, but where is your energy going? And what group are you joining up with? Because many high accountables and high performers and those looking to give more opportunities notice this stuff. And so start to really recognize where you're at. Because in any company, there's actually three groups that kind of lay out in the company. There's those that kind of stay around in this place called resistance. It's about 20%. And then there's like 60% that hang out in maintenance. And then there's about another 20% that are kind of default into vision, where they see things as opportunities. They're thinking about the resources we do have, not what we don't have. And people really find their favorite camps. And this is where I want you to notice where you're at, because if you want happiness and you want to be low in drama and able to uncover opportunities and really be a part of what's next with your organization, it's very advantageous to jump into willingness and being a visionary and figuring out ways that you can align with the visionaries and talk about how to make things happen. Because what is going to be more and more exposed in the workplace of the future, especially with how fast change is going, is if you're in a chronic state of resistance, the marketplace is moving so fast. If we're not staying with the daily opportunities to evolve, the growth, which comes in bite-sized pieces, all of a sudden we're gonna skip like 20 upgrades, 30 upgrades, and all of a sudden you're gonna be so far behind that you have to stay in resistance and you miss out on the group that's really creating what's next for your organization. And so start to notice if you're around the group that is really about colluding and into drama, or are you in the group that is really low drama, talking about innovation, and you, there's not much judgment. There's only talk about what we want to create and how to get there. Now, the next thing I'd love for you guys to open your minds to when it comes to looking at the current job we have and if it's something we should hate or love is we need to rethink really what it takes to be engaged in our work or to feel empowered. Because so many times I talk to people that are just kind of not sure about where they're at in their career. And they're like, you know, I want to do something cooler. Or I want to be empowered, or I want to have a seat at the table in my company. And what I always say is, if you want to be empowered, look at stepping into the power you already have. Because regardless of our level, we often step out of the opportunities and the empowerment that's right in front of us. And so many people look at in their situation when the going gets tough, they're asked to step up to a new challenge, they are asked to take on more responsibility, there's maybe a little bit more stress in the job, there's maybe more ambiguity, there's more complexity, and there's competing priorities. And when that happens, most people, that's your moment to step up and really evolve your skill set and really connect with people in your company to figure out how. Most humans, though, and I've done this before, we decide to do something different. We respond in a very predictable way. We step down. We do what we call quitting. We fantasize about all the other great jobs out there and that no one else has to go through all the craziness we do. And we start to, our ego starts to justify our stepping down with reasons, stories, and excuses about why we could. And we call it BMW driving, which is bitching, moaning, and whining. And when we step down and we're BMW driving, we're not looking for the places we can have impact in our jobs and in our current career. We're looking for all the other people and circumstances that are getting in our way, and we start to blame those other people and circumstances. And so if you find yourself doing that cycle and then jumping into usually the next part, which is trying to change reality, in the simplest case, it is to quit the job or to go into business for yourself so I just don't have to deal with any people or circumstances. But the newsflash is that you will still deal with extenuating circumstances and people if you try and do it yourself. And so the lesson will keep coming. And so instead of trying to really perfect reality and try and change all these other people and circumstances, what if we, again, through these techniques I talked about, looked at what are ways we can change our mindsets by editing our stories, by getting better at stop judging, start helping, by just simply being able to say yes. And even if it seems like it's below our pay grade, just get involved in helping others, to connect with those in our organization to really help you when you need them in a tough moment, and it really starts to cultivate teamwork. That's really what I want you guys thinking about, is are you going through that cycle more than, you know, 5 times a day? Are you not catching it where you, the going gets tough and you justify your stepping down and trying to change reality? Last little bonus step here is to go to the places that you're currently most frustrated with your job. And I recommend taking like a person, whether it's a boss or a coworker, and then take a situation, a common situation that drives you crazy and gets you frustrated. And then maybe it's like a client or like a tough customer you have to serve. And do an edit your story. Write down the whole part of your thinking that's going on about that person, situation, or the client, and get it all on paper. And do three of these. And then once you have it all done, be honest, really spill it out there like you're journaling. Go back and edit that story and be diligent. Any assignments of motive, any judgment, any things that haven't happened, any assignments of what they were thinking, if you're like, I swear they were thinking this, you got to cross that out, because you're asking, what do I know for sure? You're a seeker of the truth, and the truth sets us free. And as you look at those three papers and you really take some time to cross out anything that's not true, look at what's left for sentences, which should be like 2 or 3 facts about what's going on. And for the person, you might have, my leader calls to check on projects often. They want me to give them more detail than I prefer, and I am sometimes behind on these projects. Now, that right there is a very clean, clear reality, nothing to be overwhelmed with at your job about that leader. And you can find 3 things you could do to help there to shore up some of that challenge. And go take action on those. Get neutral and go take action on what you came up with. Same thing with the situation and same thing with the thing about the client. Get neutral and ask, what could you do to help? And if you want to take it to the next level, get neutral about that person, for example, your leader that you're frustrated with or a coworker. And then with all of the love in your heart, wholeheartedly neutral, this will take some discipline, go up and say, I'm working on this to improve our communication. And I just am wondering what I could do to help make this a better transition when we pass on work. And whatever they say, without defensiveness or really getting frustrated, just take their simple instructions they give to you and just say thank you and go do that and see what happens. Just see what happens there. Sometimes the people we're most frustrated with are consistently giving us the simple instructions that would help really ease the relationship and lead to more happiness and effectiveness for us. And so just follow those simple instructions. I promise I've done this many times. That is sometimes the argument with reality that we can end, and it leads to a much, much different experience. Listeners, that's all for today. I hope you really take a chance to follow these tips even for a couple weeks. Maybe just start with 1 week if you have to, and see if it starts to look less like villains out there and there actually is some opportunity. I truly believe if you follow some of these tips I gave in this podcast, we can really start an interesting discussion around, is it the jobs out there that are really wearing us out and impossible to do, or is it our approaches to these jobs and the fact that we're not coming in drama-free? And so don't take my word for it, you guys. Please check this out for yourself. I'm not an expert, but I'm having a hunch here that there is some freedom beyond drama as we carve it away. And so again, guys, the same job you hate, I've seen it time and time again, it could be the job you like tomorrow with the drama gone. Thank you guys for hanging in there for another one of my self-reflections on a trend I'm seeing out there. I really, really appreciate you guys, and I'm having a blast with the Carvery and all of your feedback. And you guys know the deal. I'll catch you next time, because we're going to keep ditching the drama.